And God loves to honor faithfulness. Of course, he honored his own son. He said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." And the Lord Jesus came into the world to do the will of his Father, and all of his days he served his Father with all of his heart. Now you'll notice in this story that faithfulness is not based on largeness. It's not based on how many talents you put to work, but it's what you do with the talents that God gives to you. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. And in today's program, we are going to be looking at the marks of a faithful Christian. I wonder, do you count yourself to be a faithful Christian? Oh, it's one thing to say that you are a Christian in name. It's another thing just to broadcast it and throw it around by lip service. But is it true? Have you got the marks of a faithful Christian in your life? And at the close of the program, we have a little story, "I Will Not Deny Him." Firstly, we have a question answer here today, and we're looking at Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. One of the great texts in the Bible. I would call this a Gibraltar text. It is a life and death text. It is a text that will make the difference between heaven and hell, between peace with God and living with the devil for all eternity. So take heed to this word. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus." There you have the source of justification. Therefore, and it goes back to the whole covenant and the whole purpose of God in his calling, choosing, and redeeming people by his perfect plan. Then there's the science of justification by faith. That's how it works. And if you do not have faith in the Son of God, you cannot claim to be a Christian nor to have peace with God. The secret of justification, it says here that it's through our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, that's the answer. And that's the hope that we need, that we come through the Lord Jesus, that we trust in him, and we know that he will not fail. So there you are, the source, the science, the secret of justification. Tomorrow we'll look at the steps of justification. Stay tuned now as we bring to you this message from God's Word on the marks of a faithful Christian. Now, having read this account of the three men with the numbers of talents, one with five, one with two, and one with just one. And, of course, the conclusion of the matter, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." What we can conclude from this is that God loves faithfulness. And God loves to honor faithfulness. Of course, he honored his own son. He said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." And the Lord Jesus came into the world to do the will of his Father, and all of his days he served his Father with all of his heart. Now you'll notice in this story that faithfulness is not based on largeness. It's not based on how many talents you put to work, but it's what you do with the talents that God gives to you. The man who was put to work as two talents was commended just as the man with five. It was the fellow who buried his talent that was eventually cast out. And this has to be the chief mark of our ministry. In Luke 16:10, it says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." Now, the first mention of a faithful man in the Bible was Moses. And we read in the book of Numbers 12, "My servant Moses is not so." Now that means he did not join the murmurers and the rebels who complained against God, "who is faithful in all mine house." Now the Hebrew word for faithful means to build up. He was not one who was tearing down and destroying, but to make good use and to build with what he was given. And Moses is held up to us as an example of a man who was faithful in all of his house. The quality or the character of faithfulness is not optional to God's servants. In 1 Corinthians 4, it says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." So here is bottom line. If you're going to serve God, if you're going to use your life to witness for God, you need to be found faithful. You need to be a builder and not a wrecker. You need to be edifying, not discouraging. Now, how does this affect us today? This really is God's answer to those who will sell out the Bible to build the biggest church. It's not how many you produce, it's what you do with the talent, the charge that God has given you. And it's God's answer to encourage those that have small ministries, like ourselves, a small church. We have not a whole lot of people. But here is a word to encourage our hearts that God is not just looking for many, many great talents, but he wants to see us faithfully using the talents, the charge that he has given. So God's approval is not on bigness, but on faithfulness. And this changes everything for us as we serve the Lord. What we do with the talents, what we do with his word and the gospel that he has given us, that's altogether important. And what we certainly learn here, and we note this in verse 29, we must not bury them. This fellow who was given one talent, he claimed that he thought his master was a hard taskmaster. And so out of fear, he just buried his talent and put it underground. Indeed, that man who buries his talent will be cast into outer darkness. If you look at verse 29, "For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness." So I would have to conclude that this represents the person who's not really converted, not really a Christian. He's not really living for God. And he has buried the whole thing. He's not making use of the light and the knowledge and the gospel as he ought. And God expects every Christian to be faithful. God expects us all to be building and using the knowledge, the gifts, the privileges that we've been given as children of God. Sloth and using religion for convenience is the mark of those who don't walk with God or even know the Lord. And of course, these things are rampant in our society today and the life of many churches. We have to ask, where are the workers? Where are those who are putting to use the gifts, the talents that God has given? Where are the soldiers of the faith that are willing to do battle for God? And where are the men and women who take on the task of serving God in their hearts? Now, Solomon asked, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?" And in every generation, faithfulness can be a rare commodity. And this is certainly the cry today. We need faithful believers in churches. And of course, it's true also in the workplace. And so this is our subject tonight. We're going to look at faithfulness. We're going to look at it in four ways. We have firstly the basis of faithfulness, the marks of faithfulness, the grace to be faithful, and the blessings of faithfulness. The first one then is the basis of being faithful, and it is really based on the character of God. Now, in this series that we're doing on godliness, we're taking what are the characteristics of God himself, and if we are going to be God-like, then that quality that's in God should be in us to some degree. And one of the characteristics of God is that He is faithful. Now, in the New Testament, the word faithful has the meaning of trustworthy. He can be depended upon. Dependability would certainly be included in that. His word can be taken to the bank. You can trust God all the way. And we know that God doesn't work on a whim. He's not concocting the plan for tomorrow at midnight tonight. He's working from an eternal decree, which He has in place from before the foundation of the world. And God is going to do His will, and He'll work it out His way. God can be trusted. Now, this can be reinforced by the covenant of the rainbow. We're in the time of year now where we just might see a rainbow. If it was to rain when the sun is in the background, we will see that rainbow. The reminder of God's covenant never again to judge the world by a flood, and how faithful God has kept that. Built into that covenant to Noah was also the covenant of seed time and harvest, night and day. And all of these things God has kept right through. In creation, God has created the boundary of the seas and the oceans. And while the tide goes in, out and in, out and in, twice every day, with absolute regularity, and you can go and get the charts for the high tide, the low tide, the time and the season, according to the moon, all of that so predictable. Why is it predictable? Because God is faithful, keeps everything in motion. There's another area of God's faithfulness we looked at recently, and that was to do with temptation. That God is faithful, He will not allow us to be tempted above what we are able to bear. That's 1 Corinthians 10:13. God is faithful. And the hope of the Christian, the comfort of the Christian, is that in our walk of life, we have God's protection, and He is faithful as our guide and keeper to watch over us. He rebukes the devil, and He says, no more, so far and no more. And thereby, God demonstrates His faithfulness. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3:3, we read, but the Lord is faithful, who will keep you from evil. We can plead that promise. The Lord is faithful, who will keep you from evil. And if we want to be delivered from evil, if we really want to be delivered from evil, we can lean on that promise of the Lord. And then if you're in Thessalonians, go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5:23 and verse 24, and it talks about the Lord keeping us until the day of Jesus Christ. And again, it refers to God's faithfulness. He will keep us. And then in 2 Timothy 2:13, if ye believe not, yet He abideth faithful. Now, we can fail and we can stumble and our faith can grow weak, but the Lord abideth faithful. And godliness, God-likeness, means that we be marked likewise with this character of being faithfulness. And so I note that my faithfulness can only be as good as God's, and that by His power working in me. If I'm ever going to be a faithful man, if I'm going to have this characteristic of God in my life, I'm going to depend on the Lord to work this within me. So we want God to get a hold of us. And when God converts us and God sanctifies us and God puts His Spirit within us, He puts this mark, this characteristic of faithfulness, loyalty, dependability within our hearts and our lives. This is a great truth. The basis of our faithfulness as Christians is the Spirit of Christ, the power of Christ living, dwelling in us. So our prayer is that we will become more and more like God. And I want my life to be aligned to Him, and I want His power and grace to work this faithfulness in my life, because I want to please Him. I want to walk in His will and bring glory to His name. Now that means that laziness, carelessness, which I think is the opposite to faithfulness, laziness and carelessness, you will pray against. You will say, don't let that spirit take over in my life. Let me be up and doing. Let me be a worker with the talents that God has been pleased to give me. And let me use them for His glory. Don't want to be like that man who buried a talent. I don't want to put that talent underground, bury it, and do nothing with it, and thereby show that I don't have the power and the blessing of God. And so I think that is the basis of our faithfulness. And the very desire to be faithfulness is God-given. It is a work of the Spirit in our hearts and lives. And I trust that we be a people who are marked with faithfulness. We come now to the marks of the faithful. Now, if we start with this parable of the talents, we soon discover the marks of the faithful servant. The two who were commended for their faithfulness, what do? They put their talents to work. They labored to make increase and improvement of them. And so that when the master returned from his journey, when he came back and called them to account, the one who had 5 talents, he gave 5 more. He had 10 talents. The one had 2, he had 2 more. He produced 4 talents. And no doubt they received the well done of their master. Now, this management of the talents is the work of the good steward. And I think you'll agree that the word steward, management, working with the talents, is the whole picture that is given here. And it's all to extend the kingdom, all to extend the kingdom. Because the parable begins, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man. This is about the kingdom of heaven. And God gives us talents, and we're to put them to work, and we're to use them. Now, if you turn with me to Luke 16, verses 1 to 2, you will see the opposite to this good management, this good stewardship. In another story, it says, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, a manager, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship. And so you can see that the good use, the careful management of those gifts, those talents, is the very mark of the faithful servant or steward of God. Now, the gospel is the treasure that God has entrusted us with. We have in our Bible not only the great gambit of truth, creation right to the end of the world, but we have redemption, the promise of God's saving power to sinners. And there has been entrusted to us as the church, as Christians, members of the church, those that labor for God and serve God in this church, we have been given this charge to be good stewards, to manage well, to labor for the kingdom and its extension. And one day we will give account. The story here is the picture as of the owner, the master, traveling on a long journey, and he's away a long time. And that, of course, equates with our Lord Jesus, who's gone to glory. He's coming again, and he's going to call his servants to account, and we must give answer for our stewardship. Now, I want us to look at 4 marks of the faithful Christian, the faithful steward. Firstly, the faithful man, woman, is loyal to obey God's word. To obey God's word. This has to be the very first mark of a faithful Christian. They can be trusted and left to it. Now, notice in verse 19 that this master is away a long time. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh. There's nobody cracking the whip. There's nobody standing over them, micromanaging their every act and deed. They are left to it. They are expected to be loyal servants, staying at the task, doing all that they can to promote the increase of those talents. And loyalty is the key. Indeed, loyalty is the key in every act of service in the church and out of it. The disloyal servant, the treacherous servant, the rascal that once you turn your back, he's doing his own thing and not his master's will, you can't leave him to the task. What estate owner would allow such a servant to continue in his task? No wonder we read that in verse 30, "Cast out, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness." And that makes me to realize that the person who will do nothing with the gospel, who makes no use of the gospel, is not really a Christian. It makes us to realize that the mark of being really converted is that you become faithful, a good steward of the gospel. Now, the faithful man will come to the second mark now. He will make good use of his time. Let's dwell on that for a moment. The master went away for a long time. But as in all major works, it takes time to produce fruit and increase. They had to make use of that time. How are we tonight as Christians making use of our time? I think this begs the question. Do we use and give as much time to God as we do to watch television? We have time for many earthly things and activities. It seems to be the order publicly, I qualify that way publicly, that for many it's at most 2-3 hours on a Sunday morning, and that's it. Don't ask much more. Could we call such good stewards? I'm preaching to the converted here tonight. You have obviously given this day to God by coming back to God's house, and I would say the Lord will commend you for that. You are making use of the Lord's day that He has given. This day is a gift. There are nations of the world where the Lord's day, what we call the Lord's day, the first day of the week, is a day of labor and burden and pressure. And here we have a gift from God. We're to make use of that.
Thank you for joining with us here on the program today. This is Ian Gollaher, and this matter of faithfulness, well, it speaks to us all and is a great challenge to us. And in a world where there are Christians even today facing terrible hardship and persecution because of their loyalty to Christ, well, it challenges us. A Hindu in India became a Christian. Other Hindus said, "Give up the religion of the foreigners." "No," he replied, "I love Jesus Christ because He loves me, and I must obey Him. Even if I knew that heaven was full and there was no room for me, I would still love Christ and live for His honor and glory." His friends argued with him. His relatives wept over him. Some threatened to take his life if he didn't give up Jesus. Still, he remained faithful to the one who had saved him. He said, "Threats I can bear, arguments I can't shake me. The hardest thing to bear is the weeping of my loved ones. It almost breaks my heart. But not even this can make me deny my Lord." The Lord Jesus warned that we are to be willing even to give up father, mother, brothers and sisters, houses, lands, for Jesus' sake, that we may enter into our 100-fold reward, both in this life and in the life to come. The Lord notes the suffering of his people. The Lord notes the faithfulness of his servants. And I trust that today God will stir your heart to be loyal and faithful to the Lord Jesus to the end. Serve him, praise him, stand up for him, and may his power fill your soul as you are faithful unto the Lord. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and we're on the air today to bring you this message of the gospel. Thank you for being a part of the program, and I've just got a minute or two here to just encourage you to be in touch with us. We need your input, we need your support, we need your prayers, we need your participation, and of course we, as a church radio ministry, seek to invite people along to our church here in Cloverdale, and I know that's not possible for everyone, and there may be people who are joining us week by week or day by day on this broadcast, and even joining our church by webcast. That's live from our church, from www.cloverdalefpc.ca, and you can join with us in our church services by computer. We encourage you to do that, and we trust that the Lord will stir your heart to be in touch with us. Go to our website. You can email us through that. You can support through our website, and we also invite you to email and just give us a little bit of your own situation and how we may pray for you, how we may encourage you. So we are thankful for the opportunities we have to bring you the message of the gospel, and I trust that these opportunities will continue to grow and that they will be the burden of your heart to stand with us here in this program as we each day let the Bible speak. And that's truly what we seek to do right from the Bible, from the pulpit of our church, by Bible reading and comment. So thank you again. May the Lord bless you richly, and I trust you'll join us again each day at this time. Now stay tuned for these closing announcements. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast and Monday to Friday 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.